Tonight, we're going through our fifth lesson. And we, first of all, this is study number 5 in our Revelation series. And I'm going to give you a review, a very quick review. It will not be adequate. As I said, you will need to get the book or listen to the previous CDs in order to properly get the teaching. But I'm going to go through the first 8 chapters of the book of Revelation very, very quickly and give you an overview. And then after that, we'll get right into tonight's study. And tonight's study will be 3 vignettes. We will look at Revelation 8, 9, and 10. And so in these chapters, we will find about the 7 trumpets, and we will discover the demonic horde that will come forth upon the earth, and Apollyon, who is also the beast. He is the spirit of Antichrist. And then the third vignette for tonight, we have preached on it recently on Sunday morning. It's called The Little Scroll, and that's chapter 10 of Revelation. And it's about your participation in the book of Revelation. And you know you have a part to play in that. If you go to be with the Lord and you're in heaven, you'll still have a part to play in that. The church, whether on that side or on this side, is going to have a part to play in the end time purposes of God. Now come with me to Revelation chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, open it. And I'm just going to flip through the leaves here, and I'm going to take you through chapter 1, chapter 2, right up until our present moment when we're about to teach tonight's lesson. And I'm just going to give you the quickest overview. I'm going to skip most of what I've taught, but give you just a detail so you'll get an idea that the first chapter of the book of Revelation, it tells us that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not the book of Revelations. It is the book of Revelation because it's about Jesus Christ. And this revelation of who he is and his angels and his victory and his Father and his church and his angels and his world, that's what this book is all about. And this he is first introduced to us in this first chapter. John is on the Isle of Patmos, one of Jesus' disciples, and he's a prisoner there. And he, while he's a prisoner, he has a revelation of God. The greatest revelation ever given to humanity is given to John while he's a prisoner, and he is suffering as a member of the chain gang. And you might be in a place of suffering, a place of difficulty, a place of dire pain and horror, and yet this might be the time when God gives the greatest revelation that you've ever seen. So don't think that it's conditional upon good circumstances for you to have the most amazing time with God. Certainly, this is what happened with John. And his first revelation, he sees Jesus with white hair, and his body is all a flame of fire, and his face is shining like the sun, and his voice is like thunder, and he has the churches behind him and the angels in his hand. And that's the first chapter. And in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, we find the letters to the 7 churches. And the reason for these 7 churches is that these churches were all disciples of John. And he had to write the book of Revelation out 7 times and send it to each of these churches with their own personalized letter. Why did the Lord instruct John to send it to the 7 churches? Because he needed someone to be the keeper of the book. The most important end-time prophetic word had to be saved. And so he sent it to his disciples with a warning at the back of the book. Whoever messes with this, adds to it, or changes it in any way, the plagues that are in this book will come on them. So his own disciples said, "Whoa, we're not messing with this." Besides that, they respected John, and he knew that. And so they would keep the book pure. And it would go out to 7 different churches, which would be a good way of securing that at least one of those copies would be canonized, put in the scriptures and be made available for us upon whom the ends of the world may come. So these seven churches are the keepers of the book. Each of them has a letter given to them. Each one is told how they're doing well, what they're doing wrong, and then told to be overcomers. Each of the sins that are mentioned in these seven churches are the same sins that are evident in the church today and certainly in our nation, and will be the very things that we will have to deal with before the great tribulation comes. So those are Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 4, we find the first verse says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And a voice I had first heard speak to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here.' And at once John's taken up in the spirit." And chapters 4 and 5 is what John sees when he goes into the throne room. You would love to have a dream like this. If you had a dream like this, you'd call it a glory dream, because you're brought into the throne room of Almighty God. He saw God upon his throne, although he could not see God Almighty. He saw the fire coming out, and he saw the Lamb of God, Jesus, standing before the throne. And he saw the four living creatures around the throne, worshiping day and night. These are the seraphim, with 100 eyes on their bodies and 6 wings, and worshiping, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." These seraphim are the most powerful creatures in the universe beside the Trinity. And then there's a sea of glass in front of the throne, and it represents the souls of all the Christians, all the righteous people going way back to Adam. And they're all there, 1 billion people, stretching as far as the eye can see. And they are the people of God, the spirits of justified men made perfect, waiting for resurrection day when they can get their bodies back again. And they're not in a coma. They are very active. To each of them, the Bible says, is given a harp. And they have a tremendous part to play in the purposes of God. And then around the throne are 24 elders. They have bodies. They have a pre-resurrection anointing on them. It's probably the 12 apostles of the Lamb and maybe 12 Old Testament patriarchs. Probably all of them are Jewish. And it would have been real hoot if John all of a sudden looked at the 24 elders and saw that he was one of them. In his prophetic vision, his eyes would have come out like golf balls about that time. But then around Jesus, there are 7 archangels called the 7 spirits of God, the 7 thunders, the 7 horns, the 7 blazing fires. They're the ones who are going to blow the 7 trumpets, and they're the ones who are going to pour out the 7 bowls of wrath. And so we see this amazing picture of the throne room. And I missed one group. There's 100 million angels flying overhead, circulating, and worshiping God as well. So John sees the power grid of heaven and the forces, the armies of heaven. In chapter 19, when the Lord returns, it says, "And he was riding on a white horse. And with him were all the armies of heaven riding on white horses as well." The spirit horses, spirit angels. You're going to have one, so you better learn how to ride a horse. When Jesus returns, your spirit will be riding on a spirit horse. And when you come into the clouds, it says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise." All those dead bodies that are turned to dust shall come back together again and zip up into the clouds, and the spirits that are coming down, and they will. That's what resurrection is. It's the coming back together again of your spirit and your body. And then you will forever be with the Lord. So wherever he goes is where you're going. Of course, we know where he's going, don't we? he lands on the Mount of Olives. He never ever says in the whole Bible he goes back to heaven. So then we read on. That's chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 6, now we begin with the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation lasts for 7 years. It will involve three different, distinctly different judgments. The first one we've already studied, the breaking of the seven seals off of the scroll. And then the second group of judgments happen with the blowing of the seven trumpets. And the third group of judgments come with the pouring out of the bowls of wrath. Each of these series of judgments, 1, 2, 3, become progressively more challenging, more intense, and more devastating. So that by the time these judgments are completed, the world will be uninhabitable. And you'll see some of that tonight. In between and alongside of each of these three series of judgments, there are the greatest revivals in all of history. We studied one last week. And the church will have such a powerful part to play. So in the sixth chapter, we read about these seraphim, four of them, releasing the first judgments upon the earth. They come when Jesus breaks the first, second, third, and fourth seals off of the scroll that's in the hand of God. And the end time purposes of God are released. And these four horses that come forth, one is white. He basically declares war and calls all of heaven to snap to attention and get ready for warfare. And then comes the red horse, which is war, probably World War III, and the annihilation of the Muslim power and stronghold on the earth. Doesn't mean that all Muslims will be gone, but their power will be destroyed. And then there is a black horse, and he brings famine. And because of that, the price of food escalates out of control, so that a loaf of bread will cost over $100. It says that here. And then there is a gray horse, and the gray horse releases plagues like Ebola virus and bird flu and swine flu and AIDS, and it becomes an epidemic, not just a virus or a flu, but an epidemic where it kills millions of people. Do you know that more people have died in the last 100 years from flu epidemics than in all the wars in the world combined? And when it comes like an epidemic, the Bible says that these four horses are able to kill, and they kill a quarter of the people on the earth. And that means almost 2 billion people will die in about a year. That's how we know the Great Tribulation begins. Some people say, are we in the Great Tribulation? No, we are not. If we were, it would be far more drastic. We're not living in drastic times. Not yet. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of chaos, and we're seeing a slippery slope in our nation. And there's a lot of devastation around the world. But that is nothing compared to what it's on its way. So then, that's the first four seals. The fifth seal is broken. And the Lord focuses on the martyrs, those who have died for Christian faith through all of history. And they're given special honor. And when the sixth seal is broken, there's a momentary experience of hell on earth. The Lord pulls his face away from the earth. Darkness covers the earth. It becomes a demonic place. And men cry out and want to commit suicide. It's a horrible experience, but it only lasts a short time. And after that, in chapter 7 of Revelation, the two greatest revivals in history to date come. After this series, this first series of judgments, come the greatest revivals. So we see first a Jewish revival with a symbolic number of 144,000. And then we see a worldwide revival. Because you know when the whole nation of Israel sees Jesus as Messiah, do you know how much of a turn on that's going to be for the church? The church is going to explode with power and authority when they see the Jewish people come to Jesus. And it says there in verse 9 of Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne. They're wearing white robes. If you go down to verse 13, it says, who are these people and where did they come from? And one of the elders says, these are those who were saved out of the great tribulation. So this multitude that nobody can count, from every nation, every people. I'm talking about Chinese people, Iraqian people, Venezuelan people, Chilean people. I'm talking about British people. I'm talking about Russian people, Zimbabwean people, every nation, every tribe, every people group. There will be such a move of salvation on the earth, the Bible says, that their number will not be countable except by God. And that will be the greatest. We've never seen a revival like this. So this is something that isn't talked about a lot when people talk about the Great Tribulation. But the reason why the book of Revelation and the Great Tribulation lasts 7 years and has these three distinct times of judgment is because the Lord is gathering the harvest. And sometimes the harvest doesn't want to be collected. It says, no, I don't believe in God. No, I don't want to become a Christian. So the Lord says, okay, then I will release more judgments which the world is due. And then people start crying out. And the softer hearted ones, they come to the Lord first, 1 billion at a time. And then some others just dig their heels in. Do you know any Christians or any people like that? They just keep digging their heels in deeper and deeper and deeper. No matter how much God comes after them, they dig and dig. But God loves people. And so he keeps going after them. And he'll gladly break your leg to save your soul. In fact, it says this of Egypt. If you look in Isaiah chapter 19, about verse 19, maybe a little bit in that area, you'll find it says there, the Lord says, I put a plague on them, and then I healed them, and then they turned to me, and they will be my people. So in the end, Egyptians will come to the Lord and move into the great millennium. They become a sheep nation. But this is a tactic that God uses. First of all, he comes to us with kindness. When we reject his kindness, he says, all right, I still love you, but I see I have to use tougher means. And the book of Revelation is designed to bring in the harvest of the earth while destroying the devil and releasing God's promises on the church in Israel. I think it's a great plan. So then we come up to the eighth chapter. And the beginning of the eighth chapter is when the seventh seal is broken and half an hour of silence takes place in heaven. Because God wants us to focus on prayer. He wants us to focus on the prayers of the saints, especially the prayers that are still burning on the altar that never got answered. We knew it was God's will, but it never got answered. And the Lord has collected them. And he honors you for praying those prayers that are his will, but it wasn't the timing for them to be answered. And For half an hour, all of heaven is quiet. Afterwards, the angel takes the prayer fire off the altar and hurls it to the earth. That's the answers to prayer are now finally coming. And there's earthquakes and thunder and lightning. So that's our review. And we've gone through the first seven chapters and the first part of chapter 8. That was a lot of information. You need to get the CDs to kind of work through it. But now we're going to read on, and if God will help us, we're going to try to get to the end of chapter 10. Starting then with Revelation 8 and verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. So we're now beginning the second series of judgments on the earth. They are the seven trumpets blown by the seven angels that are around Jesus. They are archangels. Michael and Gabriel are two of these trumpet blowers. And when the first angel blows his trumpet in the second series, just after such a powerful revival of maybe a billion people, now the heat intensifies. And with the blowing of the first trumpet, there is hell, fire, and brimstone that comes down from heaven. Burning rocks coming through the atmosphere. It's a meteor shower that hits the earth. And it comes down all over the place. Today somebody told me that there was hail at their house during this rainstorm. And the hail was about the size of a fingernail, they said to me. Well, just imagine if they were burning rocks that were coming down like shrapnel after an explosion. And there were so many of them that they just covered everything. You couldn't run between them because there wasn't a gap big enough. It was like rain coming down, a fire. And it says, a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. That means it lasted a long time because this meteor shower has got to be coming from one direction. And so the earth is turning and it affects the whole earth. So it's like this is going on for 20 hours or something. It takes 24 hours for the earth to turn. And a third of the earth gets completely, the trees get burned. But not only that, it says all the green grass, all the grass on the whole earth gets burned by this first trumpet sound. The second angel in verse 8 of chapter 8 sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned to blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So while all of this meteor shower is coming, all of a sudden a big, huge rock the size of a mountain, maybe a mile across, comes and lands somewhere either in the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. This will have the power of 1,000 nuclear bombs. It will send a tidal wave that will cover the whole city of New York. The radioactive and the trauma waves that come as a result of this size of an asteroid hitting the ocean will immediately stun and kill a third of everything in the ocean. And a third of the ships that are on the ocean because of this huge tidal wave will collapse and be destroyed. So that's the second trumpet. When the third angel sounded his trumpet, this is in verse 10, a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. So while this meteor shower is taking place, one of these huge asteroids comes into the atmosphere and its internal infrastructure is not secure, and the whole thing blows up. And this is sulfuric. This is heavy metals. This is so toxic, and it sprays over the earth. And when it comes down, all it's like this dust that is poisonous and corrosive. And it comes down on anything where there's water, and it makes all the water on the surface of the earth, a third of it, completely undrinkable. So now the water has to, we have to do something totally different with our water filtration systems, because all the natural waters on the earth, including springs of water, will become wormwood, which is a Greek word which means undrinkable. They'll be bitter, and people will die. Many people died from the bitterness or the toxic that's in the water. So here's the first three trumpets. All of them involve some kind of asteroids or meteorites that come from the earth. This is the second series of judgments. And then in verse 12, it says, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and the third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, a third of them were turned dark, a third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So here's the fourth angel blowing his trumpet, and he says there is such darkness that covers the earth. Well, you can understand it. With all of that asteroids and flaming fiery rocks coming down to the earth, you've got so much steam rising off the oceans and off the water, and you've got so much dust and pollution in the air, and you've got smoke from all the trees and grass. So there's a whole cloud layer, and it's a third of the day becomes like night, and a third of the night is blocked from the stars, because a third of the earth is now covered in complete thick black cloud made up of dust and smoke. And there is a demonic feeling that comes with this. It's in Canada, when you're snowed in for months and months and months, especially people who can't get out, they call it cabin fever. People actually start to go a little crazy. You might have wondered why the Canadians are the way they are. It might be due to cabin fever, because they're shut up. If you are staying in your house all the time and you don't go out and get fresh air, it's no wonder if you're suffering from a little depression. But just imagine if the whole world becomes like that. Pastor Jesse and Elizabeth lived for 7 years in Vancouver, and they say for most of the year it rained every day. And after a while, there's a kind of depression that comes. So that's the first four trumpets from these four angels. Then we go to verse 13, and this gets really heavy. You thought this is heavy. I wish actually, if this is the first time you're here, I wish you were here last week when we talked about the revivals. Because, you know, the weeks kind of go back and forth. 1 week judgments, 1 week revivals. So if you're here tonight, you're getting the revival. So if it's too heavy, please understand the whole book of Revelation isn't like that. You have to understand both the severity and the kindness of God. But now look at verse 13. As I watched, I heard an angel that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the last three angels." So this is an angel that looks like an eagle, and he's flying in midair. Probably it's another word for mid-heaven or middle heaven. Most theologians believe there are three heavens, because Paul says, "I was caught up into the third heaven." And they believe the third heaven is where God's throne is, and the first heaven is actually our atmosphere. And in between is where angels fight, in the middle heaven. And in that place, probably one of the seraphim, because each of the seraphim had face of an eagle or a lion or a man or an ox. And they're extremely prophetic. And this is a prophetic eagle angel. And he flies into the middle heaven. And he calls out, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the next three angels that are going to sound their trumpets." These last three trumpet blasts will be more devastating than anything that's happened before. And the angel prophesies and gives a warning to the people on the earth. And so when the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. This is a demonic horde that is going to be released from the bottomless pit or the abyss, which is a jail for fallen angels and demons. And these three woes are about demonic powers coming to the earth that right now are locked up in the abyss. So the angel gives us the three woes, and he tells us it's coming, something very bad. And the first of these three woes that comes with the blowing of the fifth trumpet, a star or an angel goes down and unlocks the jail, the abyss, the bottomless pit. And out of the chimney of this jail comes like a horde of billion bats, only they're demonic creatures. And they are like locusts. There's so many of them. And they're demons. And they have a stinger on them like a scorpion. And they are going to come to wreak havoc on the earth. They are one of God's judgments. And they cannot hurt the Christians. The people of God, whether Jew or Gentile, if they've come to Christ, they will have the seal of God on their foreheads. And these demons will not be able to mess with them. In verse 5 it says, they were not given power to kill the other people, but only to torture them for 5 months. The agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death but not be able to find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. I think it will be something like a severe case of shingles. And people say that it's the most painful thing when somebody gets shingles. You can't touch their body. And this here only is demonically inflicted, like the sting of a scorpion. And it's a torture. And people are in such pain that they want to die. And these creatures, the locusts, look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold. Their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like woman's hair. Their teeth like lion's teeth. They had a breastplate, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like thunder of many horses and chariots rushing to battle. They had tails and stings like scorpion. And in their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel from the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek is Apollyon. The first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. So for 5 months, a demonic horde will be released on the earth to torment people, all people who are not Christians or Messianic Jews. And they don't have the seal of God on them. They'll be tormented. And they will be in such pain and such mental torment as well. They have a creature who rules over them. He is their king. His name is Apollyon. And as we study through the book of Revelation, we'll identify this Apollyon as the beast, the Antichrist. It's not that people are going to worship him, but people worship his image. So what is the image he is bringing? We'll study it later on. It is the spirit of humanism, which is already in the world. Humanism is in capitalism. Humanism is in communism. Humanism is in socialism. All the isms embrace humanism, which says man is the center of everything and we don't really need God. And that is a unifying commodity in all the nations of the world. Well, I don't want to talk about the beast any more than just to say he is introduced here as a demon spirit. Later it'll say, and the beast who came up from out of the pit shall get all people to worship his image. And then you'll see that the Antichrist is not a Jew or an Egyptian or a Russian or one of the presidents of the United States of America. He's a spirit, and you worship his image, and his image, most people in the world are already worshiping. It's called humanism. So that's the first woe. And the first woe is past, it says in verse 12. Two other woes are yet to come. Verse 13 of Revelation 9. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound by the great river Euphrates, and the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour, and these are demonic angels, and this day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. There wasn't that many people on the earth at that time. So for him to get a number of that many soldiers, you know it's futuristic. The horses and riders I saw in my vision look like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, kind of like tanks. For their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, and their thefts. So this is very amazing, isn't it? That even after all of that, there are the people who didn't get saved yet, because a billion or more people already got saved. But now we're talking about hardcore people involved in witchcraft and their own pride and their own arrogance and stubbornness that they will not yield to God. So in this sixth sounding of the trumpet, there are some angels, four demonic demon lords, you might say, demon generals, who are, they're in a special prison somewhere over in lower Turkey or Iraq. Because they come out, they're being kept by the river Euphrates. If you think there's a stronghold of demonic power in the 1040 window, it's because there's a demonic prison there with four demon lords who are going to, they're in prison there, and they're there until the Great Tribulation, the first part. This is still the first part of the Great Tribulation. But at this time, with the blowing of the sixth trumpet, an angel goes and unlocks these demon creatures. And they come out. They have such authority and such power. And they whip the whole world up into war. It will be these four demon spirits that are behind the coming together of the Battle of Armageddon. And in that battle, there will be 200 million soldiers that will eventually march on Jerusalem. So the muster has begun for the spirit of war to come against Israel and the Lord Jesus, to come against the church and the Jewish people in the Battle of Armageddon. And do you think that there is not demon spirits behind the politics of the world? Do you think there is not demon generals who are here now over nations, over principalities, over whole regions of darkness? That's why when Daniel prayed, and it took 21 days before the angel finally came to him, it was Gabriel. And he said, the first day that you prayed, your message was heard in heaven, and I was sent with the answer. But I met some opposition in the heavenly places. The king of Tyre, the prince of Tyre, and the prince of Persia. Persia is modern day Iran. Tyre is in Lebanon. These are demon spirits that rule over some of the Arab nations. He was on his way to Babylon, which was on the Euphrates River, very close to it. Not quite on it, but close to it. And there was a stronghold of demonic princes, demon lords, who fought with him for 21 days. And he said, I wouldn't have broken through. But the prince of Israel, the prince, the archangel in charge of Israel, his name is Michael, the archangel. He came and assisted me and helped me to break through, Daniel, so I could bring you this word. So if there were demon spirits of that power called the prince of Tyre and the prince of Persia way back in Daniel's day, just imagine what these four demon spirits will be like when they get released near the river Euphrates. It's very instructive that the land promised to Israel by God to Abraham, as recorded in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18 and 19, God says to Abraham, it says, on that day God made a covenant with Abraham and said, I will give you the land to you and your descendants, to the Jewish people, from the great river of Egypt, the Nile, all the way to the great river, the Euphrates, and all the land of the Canaanites, the Kenites, the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and a lot of otherites. And all that region will become Israel, right up to the Euphrates River. And it's on the border of Israel where these demon lords will be released. And the wars that will come in that part of the world will be horrific. And that they will kill a third of the people who are left on the earth at that time. And there will be a lot of military maneuvers then. You see, he sees creatures that have faces like lions, and they had fire coming out of their mouths and out of their tails, kind of like a tank turret or something like that. I think he's describing modern day military equipment, cannons and who knows what. But he is, of course, writing this 2,000 years ago, and they didn't even know gunpowder. So just imagine how he's trying to describe to us what a modern-day cannon or missile firer looks like, and he says fire comes out of their tails. And it says that they killed a third, in verse 18, a third of mankind was killed. So by this time, there might be 5 billion people on the earth, maybe 4 or 5 billion, and because the numbers have already been killed, and a third of them are going to be killed. And yet the people still don't repent. So now we still have 10 minutes and we're going to go through the last vignette, which is chapter 10. Because I've told you a few times now, and it's worth repeating, that the book of Revelation, once we pass the fifth chapter, once we pass the view of the throne room and the great tribulation starts, from that point on until the end of the book is all in chronological order. But what happens is John is shown first what's going to happen on the earth. Then he'll show you the demonic powers. Then he'll show you what the angels are doing. Then he'll show you what the church is doing. And it'll keep going back and forth so that you get the whole picture. And they'll move forward through these 7 years in chronological order. So we see the judgments that are coming. But in the middle of it, John is going to get a wake-up call. For he is going to be called to participate. And this isn't just John's participation, but it is your participation as well. And so we read, then I saw another, this is Revelation chapter 10. It says, then I saw another mighty angel coming down from the heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head, and his face was like the sun. His legs were like flying pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders, remember I told you that those angels around Christ are called the seven thunders as well? And they spoke. And I was about to write it down, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and don't write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to heaven. This is great. And he swore by him who lives forever and ever, created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. When the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me once more, go take the scroll, speaking to John, the angel says, go take the scroll. Well, actually, Jesus speaks to him and says, go take the scroll, John, that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the land and the sea. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then John was told, he said, then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. So this chapter is about the little scroll. John sees a little scroll. He's already seen a big scroll that was in the hand of God Almighty that had the seven seals on it. Now he sees a little scroll that's already open. And at the end of this time, the angel says to him, John, take that little scroll and eat it. Because it's John's scroll. It's the word of God that he has to digest, that he has to live out. He says, and you must prophesy, John, over many nations and kings and peoples. Some of you are getting dreams from heaven that are as complicated as the book of Revelation. Some of you are getting apocalyptic dreams. Some of you are getting dreams that are glory dreams, warning dreams, and you don't know what to do with them. Every day somebody comes to me with one of their dreams and says, "What? Will you help me understand this dream?" It is a daily event for me to interpret somebody's dream. And out of seven dreams, in an average of one a day for 7 days, at least four of them, I'm in their dreams. It's amazing to me. But what I'm telling you is that there's a part for you to play. And some of it's going to come to you in your dreams. And the Lord's going to say to you, now man of God, now woman of God, you must prophesy. I'm showing you these things, not so you can wake up and say, wow, and then tell all your friends about your dream and get into some hokey-pokey sensationalism. No, this is the real deal. God's calling you into partnership with him for his purpose in the end times. He's not going to do it by himself. He's going to do what he's going to do to fulfill the work of the cross and to release everything that was paid for on the cross, the complete destruction of the devil and the complete release of his blessings on the church and on Israel. He's going to do it with the help of his angels and with the help of his church, with the help of his people. And greater things than these shall you do, the Lord says, because I go to my Father. In just the next chapter, you're going to read the verse that says, and the people overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they were not afraid to die. People are quoting that today, but this is not the time for that verse. That verse is in the middle of the book of Revelation and the great tribulation period, when you will have physical anointing and power, not just to resist, not just to survive, not just to get through, but to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And people who are afraid of the book of Revelation are going to get an upgrade. And they will not be afraid of death. So this chapter 10, there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Chapter 10 brings us to the place where we realize, oh my, we're to be involved. Do you know, if we go to the book of Ezekiel, you can find there, the prophet Ezekiel was shown a little scroll. And he was told to take the little scroll and eat it, and that it would be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. It was the word of God to Ezekiel. It's interesting that Ezekiel's talking about cherubim. He's talking about the throne of God. He's talking about the end time purpose. He's talking about the temple of God. He's talking about getting in the river and going into the distant purposes of God. He is such an end time prophet. And he's given a scroll that's got his name on it. And the angel says, Ezekiel, eat it. I wonder what's in your scroll. What little scroll that you have. And the Lord is going to show you a little scroll. All the little scrolls are part of God's big scroll. All the little scrolls involve you and the part that you have to play in the end time purposes of God. So this angel, he's standing on the land and the sea. The sea represents people. The land represents the environment. Both are suffering. The environment's burning up. The water's becoming polluted. The people are suffering death and disease. And the angel says, now, John, it's time you got involved and you start to prophesy. In fact, seven angels come on the scene. They're called the seven thunders. It speaks of their prophetic announcements, the thunders. And they say some things, I'm sure, that caused John's socks to peel back. And the Lord says, you're not allowed to share that part. What the seven thunders have said, seal it up. Just like the Lord said that to John, to Paul, things that were could not be shared. And to Daniel, seal it up until the end times. And then one of the angels comes and says, there will be no more delay. In the midst of this, he prophesies. And he says, there will be no more delay. Verse 7. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as it had been announced to his prophets. The mystery of God that's been announced to all the prophets is the resurrection of the dead and the return of the Lord Jesus. It's called the mystery of God. In Corinthians, you can read it. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is the mystery of God. You shall not all sleep, but you shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That's the mystery that's been shown and talked about to his servants, the prophets, and it comes in the blowing of the seventh, in the days of the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Not exactly when the seventh trumpet blows for days. If you don't get that word days, you'll get confused. But it says, in the days, verse 7, when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God is revealed. And during the seventh trumpet, all of the wrath is poured out. And he says, there will be no more delay. It's finally coming. But we're only in the tenth chapter. And there's still another 12 chapters of Revelation to go through. Now, next week, we're going to try to cover Revelation 11 and 12. And these two chapters, actually Revelation 10, 11, and 12, are all about the church. The church's victory, the church's anointing. It is absolutely amazing. So if I could encourage you to be at any of these studies, next week is a home run study to give you faith and to give you a bigger picture, probably something that you've never heard before unless you've read it in my book. And I want to take you through it and show you what the Lord says is going to happen. So, in conclusion, we're studying the book of Revelation. We see the introductions at the beginning, the seven churches, and then the great tribulation, which lasts for 7 years. It has three times of judgment that get worse each time. But after each period of judgments come great revivals, and billions of people get saved. After the first series of judgments, the easy, ripe souls got saved. But now, many more judgments have come. But the people still did not give themselves up to the Lord. The people who hadn't become Christians yet are real hardcore sinners. They're working their way to hell. And the Lord is going to get in their way. Because the greatest revival in all of history doesn't come until the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, when he has brought so many more people to their knees. And more people get saved in chapter 14 than got saved in chapter 7. It's absolutely amazing. So you have a part to play in all of this. God's going to begin to give you dreams. He's going to begin to teach you more. His Holy Spirit's going to bring you into a place of incubation because something is about to be born. It's the end time, powerful, anointed, one new man church made up of redeemed Israel through Jesus and a purified Holy Spirit end time church of the nations. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord, we thank you for your word and for giving us such detail on the end times. Lord, we want to be in step with you in all that you're doing. We want to play our part. So we welcome the dreams from heaven. We welcome the apocalyptic dreams and the glory dreams, special revelation and special words. Lord, equip us, prepare us, and send us into the harvest field with more miracles, with more anointing, with more conviction, with more protection. We love to partner with you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen.